Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Greetings. This is the Archbishop, Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi, coming to you live from the United States of America on the East Coast, Eastern Central Standard Time. Amen. I just want to take a moment just to share my heart with you today as we celebrate this first Sunday of the month of May. Amen. 2022. Amen. So again, this is Archbishop Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi. Amen. And I pray that you're having a great day today and pray the Lord has blessed you throughout today's this first Sunday. I pray that the Lord will bless you and your household as we go over some requirements of the Word of God. Amen. In the 21st century. Amen. Praise God. So we're looking at the Word of God, and I was looking at, actually I just started my little poem that I was reading from the Matthew chapter 7, and I just was writing them in my journal. It says, and seeing the multitude, it shows that Jesus Christ went up into a mountain because of that which he saw, the multitude of people. And it says that when he was set, he opened up his mouth and he began to teach them, to taught them, saying, the Word of God. Amen. So we're going to take our time today to go into Matthew chapter 5 and see what it all entails. And I will be reading from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Amen. As I turn to it, take your time to turn to Matthew chapter 5. St. Matthew's and some versions of Matthew chapter 5. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you that's tuning in to the broadcast. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, like I said, just to be able to disseminate the Word of God. Amen. So I'm just going to... do that. Oh, my file is too big. Oh, no. I've got to find another file. Sometimes when I'm trying to upload films that I've done, it's kind of hard to find a file that fits the thumbnail because the camera seems to always take a photo, and I really don't like how the camera just takes that one thumbnail and that's all you have. So I'm going to try and do a thumbnail upload today again. I did find something that I really like and I wanted to use it. See if I can see if that one will upload. I don't know. I don't mute. Sometimes the system is just very funky, I think. Upload and send me will be answer. Why did that? I can't find that thumbnail. I may just have to just go with what we have, the regular broadcast. Let's try this again. Required. I will begin reading in a few seconds as I try and upload a thumbnail for the video side of the house. Amen. 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 All right, so here we go. Let's try that one more time. I'm so excited about being able to deliver the Word of God to each and every one of you as I'm learning how to do this. I've been doing this since, I believe it's 2000, since the inception of online broadcasting I just thank God for all of those that, you know, that pay attention to the Word of God and is on this journey with me. Okay, so let's see. Okay, I'm going to see. I guess I can't upload anything. We're just going to go forward with this. I got it as public live. I don't know why, but lately when I've been filming, all my stuff is going in automatically into the unlist method of doing things. I'm not sure why. I got to find out why. But anyway, it's all good, right? So let's begin with prayer, and we're going to go ahead and go live right now in Jesus' name. We're coming from St. Matthew chapter 5. Father God, we thank you for this day. We ask that you just empower me to speak the word of God, the living God, Lord God, the one true and living God, so that you will be glorified on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray for every household. I just want to send out my warmest condolence to the Bird family, Bishop Earl T. Bird and his beautiful wife, the First Lady, co-pastor May Bird, and the entire family who recently lost the 39-year-old daughter. We pray, Lord God, for them, that you will just heal them as they go through this time of bereavement. Just bless their heart, bless their soul, bless their mind. Encourage them, give them a peace that surpasses all understanding as they continuously keep their mind stayed on you, Lord God. We pray for that entire household and the extended family and all the people that love the Bird family. I pray for them and their ministry. Just be strong and know that God is with you during this time. He'll never leave you or forsake you. This is the promise of the Lord. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is start with okay, my system is not acting right. I'm just going to read Matthew 5 in the beginning. It says that, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Amen. So what we're going to do is just going to basically start all over because this is not working on the online for some odd reason. But I did set a new program in play, and that may be what's impeding the file, I guess. So I may have to go through that program. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, I will try to do this one more time to set this system up. Then if it doesn't work, then I'll go through the program that I set up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. All right. So it says, I'm seeing the multitude. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed is the pure, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Another version I have, it says, blessed is the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This version says, this is the King James version, but it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's a little different take on it. Verse number 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We just prayed for one of our beloved ministers that broadcasts with us every single week. They're constantly, hitting the word of God out into the public domain on our Streaming Live radio broadcasting system. And, you know, for them to, you know, be heard in right now, it's really, you know, it hurts the entire body, you know. So the Word of God says that He's going to comfort you when you're going through. God said He's going to comfort you. Amen. So He also said that you're blessed here in the scriptures. It's really a good saying. Like God is saying that you will be blessed when you're mourning. Okay? It said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Verse 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. The peacemakers are the ones that we know of that has done dynamic work throughout their community, in their land, different aspects of the global community which we live in now. We have peacemakers, but we also have people who are warring factions that cause problems for many. We want to just encourage those that are meek, that they shall inherit the earth, and that is the promise of God. Amen. So we want to make sure that you understand that God is an awesome God, and He really wants you to understand and know that He's with you. Those that are meek and of very soft mannerism, that don't mean that they're not strong. They're just mild and meek. They like to be gentle about the things that they do. They don't. They're not aggressive in what they do. And with that being said, they tend to seem to be mild-mannered and one that people can potentially think that they can get over on, you know. But they're not. They're very wise people. But God is saying here, as Jesus Christ spoke on the mountain, that they shall inherit the earth, the peacemakers. Amen. So the next one, verse 6, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So what that is saying, in my opinion, I should say, those that are hungry for the word of God, those that are hungry for righteousness, those that are hungry for the good things of God, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So that means they want good things to happen to all people, not just, you know, me, myself, and I type of attitude. They hunger for righteousness. They want right things to be done at all times. Amen? They're not about doing things in their own way, in their own manner, or whatever one may say, that they're all about themselves or just their family only. They want everything to run right, in a right manner, right accord. And so there you have it. You have people that are, you know, about God's business. And some people are not even about God. They just want things to be done right. Amen. So I'm really excited about that that type of individual. They want things to be done right. I was sharing with you the other day how I was sent a letter in the mail, and you know, the first thing I did was call the bank. The check was any good, and come to find out, it was not a check that was written on that bank's register or their ledger. And it was a good thing I checked into it, because I would have been, you know, hurt or harmed by that check that was no good, right? One way or another, I would have to pay that back, right? Cashed it and used it or whatever, you know? So in righteousness, God is saying that we're blessed. So blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. All right. So what I'm talking about here is holiness, righteousness. You know, you have some people that are really, really into God's glory, into God's stuff. And, you know, they're really, really zealous, you know. Those are the people, I would say, are really, really deep into righteousness, right government, right standing, good standing. Okay, so next is verse number 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's similar to righteousness. A merciful person is one that will forgive those that have done wrong. You know, people, sometimes they have mercy. Sometimes they have not done wrong. They just want a person that is the judge over them, or you know, the person that has them over a barrel. They want them to have mercy, because they don't want to basically go out like that in a bad way. So Jesus Christ was saying, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. So we want to see God, and that's what everyone lives for, I believe, to be able to see God for themselves. You know, there's a lot of people that always want to do the right thing, and they have a clean heart and a pure conscious mind in doing the things that they do. They want to see God. They're not about anything else except God's perfect will being done. And that being said, their hope and their aspiration is to see God at the end of the day. They want to see God. Amen. They really, really love the Lord. They love the idea about God. They want to, you know, they want God to be a part of their life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's a good thing, because there's many people that are not interested in God, you know, and for whatever reason, they've been hurt. You know, they've been hurt by society. They've been hurt by church. They've been hurt by people, because, you know, people are the one that holds up the church, you know. the people are the one who does everything in the church. So, you know, they say they get church hurt, you know, they whatever reason, they become bitter against God because of something that has occurred. Amen. All right, so the next verse is talking about verse number 9. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. Glory be to God. The peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Amen. A peacemaker is one that is just about peace. Don't want trouble. You know, you just want everything to be at rest or still, being still. It's just, yeah. Glory be to God. Verse number 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So let's go back to 10. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, right now, you see a lot of people being persecuted in many, many arenas, many cultures, many individuals, many nations are persecuted for one reason or another, whether the color of their skin, their nationality, they speak a different language. There's all types of reason why people, you know, pick on someone else. But God says that if you're persecuted for a righteousness sake, says your reward is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. God is. It's like everybody's looking for God to be a part of their life. Amen. I'm going to continue with verse 11. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil falsely for my sake. But God is saying that, you know, people, you know, lie on people and for no reason whatsoever, but they make up stuff because they don't like a person for whatever reason. God is saying that you're blessed. The blessed are you when men revile you. That means, I guess, you know, pick on you, persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. I'm not saying that they're saying evil stuff truthfully. They're lying. It says they're saying it for God's sake. You know, they're speaking against you in the name of Jesus. When we speak about Jesus, you know, people don't like that name. You know, it irritates people for whatever reason. It just does. And so they start making up stuff so you won't say the name of Jesus. And they start telling untruths and lies, false accusations. And, you know, it's a many are the afflictions of the righteous, you know. But God will deliver you out of them all. Yeah. So I'm just really grateful to God that we have this anchor, which is Jesus Christ, who is able to help us through everything that we go through in life. Amen. verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revive you. We just talked about that. And when they shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12 says, what you should do is rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So you're not the first time on this rodeo. You're not the only one that has experienced these persecutions. Many are the affliction of the righteous, as I said earlier. But God will deliver you out of them all. Yeah, so trust God. That's my saying to everyone, and encourage each and everyone to trust God, trust the one true and living God. Because it is He, God, who gives you the power to get well. It is He, God, that helps you throughout all the stuff that you're going through. It is He, God, that will help you to be delivered from the adversary and all the things that they try to do to hurt you. It is He, God, that will restore you. Amen. So don't worry about anything. Yeah. Don't worry about a thing. God's word is just able to keep you in perfect truth and perfect peace. God's word keeps us alive. God's word keeps us in all that we do. God's word is able to restore us. Yeah, I have, the privilege to minister to many. When they're going through, they'll give me a call or some reason. They have their own pastors and they have their own church for people that they follow, but they choose for whatever reason to call me and to ask for prayer or just for me to listen to them, what's going on in their lives or whatever matter, whatever they're going through. It's just a grand privilege. But Jesus is saying in the scripture here in Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Holy Bible, that in verse 11 and 12, verse 12, they rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. Verse 13 talks about that. I always talk about salt and during the pandemic, even prior to that, I remember one gentleman asked me why you are always doing this salt treatment, which is steam, inhaling the salt and breathing it back out. And I shared with him, well, it was a surfer that told me that surfers, usually they never get sick because the salt, where they surf in the oceans and those waters are salty, and so it hits their skin and they never get sick. And so I started breathing the salt, the steam of the salt, since that time. And I had like a little sniffles that day when I met that surfer, and he told me that's why he's never been sick and try salt. So it works. And so when I start sharing with that gentleman, I do salt treatments so that I won't get sick. Not that I am sick. I just won't get sick. I clean out the, bring the mucus, all back into the proper pH balance of my system. So that's why I use it, and I do it day and night. You know, when I go out and I come back in, and when the pandemic hit, I just kept on doing what I did and never got sick in any way, any form. I took the test 3 or 4 times and was negative all the time. Yeah, another positive. And so here God's word is saying that you are the salt of the earth. I mean, you're able to heal this world with the word of God. You're able to heal the earth. Amen. Salt is a very important product. It's a very important commodity. It comes from the earth. And God's word is saying that you man and woman of God, are the salt of the earth. Amen. And that's a powerful sentence right there. It says, but if the salt has lost its savor, it is therefore good for nothing. Yeah. Yeah, you might as well throw it away, because you can't use it to cook for anything. It won't heal the body. It won't heal anything. It's good for nothing. It says, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Yeah, I loaded something to my system and it just blocked my whole everything. Sometimes we have to be careful when we load stuff onto our computers, you know. But anyway, so it's good to know how powerful you are, because people need you. People need to hear from you. People need to hear the word of God that comes out of your mouth, you know. Even though when some people just don't want to hear from you or whatever, they you know, earlier it says some people persecute those, you know, for righteousness' sake, you know, the peacemaker, they get some kind of get persecuted, you know, and for no reason, you know, people will lie on you and cheat and steal from you, take your stuff and your possessions and destroy your stuff. And it's like, why me? Why do I always get picked on when it doesn't seem like anyone else is? But you represent, you know, you just that pillar of salt. You know, the they that are persecuting you actually need you to be a blessing to them. They just don't know that they need you. You know, they think they don't need you, because you're always talking about this Jesus thing. You know, this God, you know, I'm tired of hearing about this God. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5 continues, verse 14, it says, you are also the light of the world. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So God sets you up in high places, and you cannot be hid, no matter what man may try to do to you, or people may try to abuse you or accuse you, or I don't know, whatever you're going through, you can't be hid. You know, they may want to hide you or get rid of you. And all kind of stuff to like block you, but you can't be blocked. You're unstoppable. So I'm here to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that you are the one that God has chosen. You are the chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're the one that God knows that his word will go through. He knows that you will take care of his stuff, his resources. You are the one that will be a blessing to this generation, in this dispensation of time. You are the one. You are the light of this world. And you cannot be hid, no matter what. You know, they try to snuff you out or, you've heard all the stories, all the horror. It's terrible, you know. They can't conquer you. They really can't. You are the light. The darkness cannot penetrate. Science has even proven that darkness cannot penetrate light. When light comes in, darkness scatters. See, the reverse is the truth. Light will cause darkness to go away. But darkness cannot penetrate light. Isn't that something? That's how powerful you are. So don't get it twisted and start feeling sorry and woe is me and all that other stuff. Just know that you are the one that everybody needs. Amen. Okay. Verse number 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. So just one candle, one flicker of a match lights up an area. I remember, I believe I was on my way, I took a flight from, I flew from upstate New York, I think, or I was flying from Canada. Anyway, I was heading into New York City. That particular year, that was the first time that the World Trade Center got hit. Yeah, I was on leave from active duty at that particular time. So during my 30 days leave, I decided to travel. And I took the plane and I went south and I stopped in the first stop, the first leg of the flight was to stop in New York City. And on that particular flight, when we got out the airport, you know, got off the plane, we had to go into the terminal, into the New York City terminal. And you had to, for whatever reason, check back in. It's different now, but then you had to get off the plane, go through the airport, and then you have to check back in to get onto another plane. So my luggage was, you know, checked in, you know, on my first section of the flight. My luggage would go from the first plane to the second plane, and, you know, so I didn't have to go back in, get luggage, and then, you know, use it to board the second plane. But what happened was that was the very first time that the World Trade Center was hit. Someone blew up the World Trade Center, or a bomb was there. They were trying to blow it up, but it didn't get blown up that particular time. I think they put a, from what I understand, a truck or something there, and that truck bomb went off. But everything shut down in New York. Everything stopped. Everything. All planes, all flights. My flight, second flight already took off by the time. I'm trying to get on the second flight, but they wouldn't let me because of this devastation that had occurred. From what I understand, I believe it was this one. It was either this one or the second time. But there were people that was coming. I think that was the second time, actually, that the World Trade Center. So people were trying to come down the steps from the high, you know, tower. They were trying to come, but they couldn't see because everything was dark. Someone had like a light on their cell phone. Yeah, they had a light on their cell phone, and it was the light on their cell phone that took them from the dark path down the steps all the way to escape danger of the tower falling. Yeah, that was the second time. It was not the first time. But both times I was affected by that, the strike of the tower, the attack on the World Trade Center. But that's the point I'm trying to get at. Even a small light was able to penetrate the darkness of that staircase that they were able to see clearly to put their foot to the next step and you know, as people went down. And that's what one of the stories that was testified, what they did to see. So here you see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, it says, neither do a man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Amen. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify Father, your Father, which is in heaven. Glorify God. Glorify the one true and living God. That's what we're about. Okay. So, yeah. I'm just trying to encourage you that no matter what you're going through and the time or the hard time that you're dealing with, you need to remember who you are in the kingdom. What God has placed you here on this earth to do is to light up the world and to light up your community. And when you're going through, everybody feels your pain. Everybody, you know, can see that you're going through something, but they need you to be strong, you know, because you actually encourage them as they're going through their hard time or whatever. When they look at you, they, you know, you're the strength, that pillar that they need, you know, that helps them. Yeah. So I just ask you just to remember who you are. You are the strength. You're that Brillo pad that they need to scrub out the dirt that they are dealing with and to rescue them and to light up the way so that they can see through that dark tunnel that they're in and to go forward. Amen. Verse number 17 was saying that Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, verse 18, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Amen. Okay, so that's a promise from God through Jesus Christ that everything that we see that is happening, even in today's time of, you know, we're getting ready to come up on Mother's Day and some good stuff is happening. We're on the first Sunday of the month of May. For me, May is a very devastating time because it was the 10th is the time God called my mother home to glory. So May 10th is problematic for me. When I remember, you know, my beautiful mom, we have, you know, a war going on in between Russia and Ukraine. The brothers are fighting brothers. And all of this devastation, people being killed and slaughtered for no reason whatsoever. You know, the weapons are formed against thousands and hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians, men, women, boys, girls, children. There is people in the eastern side of Africa that is moving people and vacating people out of the woods, the forest, you know, and just telling them they have to leave by force, you know, armed forces to push people out of the woods where they have resided for many years, all their lives, right? We have war in Central Africa, you know, CAR, you know, Congo. We have so much stuff that is going on in the world where we know that God said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But these things have to come to pass. These things must come to pass. But God said to his people, take no thoughts of those things. Don't worry yourself. Just look and see. In Psalms 91, God's word says that only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. It says 1,000 shall fall on, you know, your right side and 1,000 on your left side, but nothing shall harm you. Nothing shall come nigh your dwelling. And we'll jump to Psalms 91, and I'll read that tonight again so that you guys can, you know, prayerfully read that day and night over yourself and over your children and over your household and on those that are far, and pray for your enemies as well. And they will be protected. Amen. But here in, you know, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ is, and this is a promise, you know, that all shall be fulfilled. Not one jot. So that means every I shall be dotted and every T shall be crossed. Not one jot. Verse 17, Matthew 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to fulfill. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away. And everyone knows that the earth is not going to pass away. Everyone knows that, right? Because heaven is, you know, the kingdom of God is here on this earth, right? So heaven is not going anywhere, right? But not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled, the law of God. And man's law is based on God's law. You know, if you look at our Constitution of the United States, every single word, almost every word is based on the law of God. Even when they try to change it, correct it, and do the amendments and stuff, it's still based on God's, you know, law. Okay, so this is a very long scripture. It has 48 verses. I'm going to try and get through it in the time that I'm here. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 5, it says, so whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so, that means you teach someone else to do the wrong thing. You teach them someone else to break the law of God. Okay? He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So myself, I'll just put it like that. I don't know anyone else, you know, and what their posture is. I know about me. I can talk about me. I am the Archbishop, Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi. Everybody knows me that has been watching me for many years. And I thank God for all of you. Thank you, all my subscribers and viewers. But it says that I shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven, right? Because why? It says that whosoever shall do and teach them, I'm a teacher of God's word, a teacher of God's laws. I don't call myself a preacher whatsoever, and I never was a preacher nor a pastor, but I am a teacher and a scholar, right, of the word of God academically and literally, you know. So I teach God's word. So it's saying that I shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. Ain't that something? If you are a teacher, that it professes God's word, you're great in the kingdom of heaven. And again, heaven is here on earth in God's kingdom. But you who do not do these things, it says that you are the least in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a section in the Bible, in the Holy Bible, that talks about that. The very elect shall scarcely make it in. The very elect, that mean you that are chosen, that are holy, and you've been doing God's work for so many years and all of that. If you don't keep on your P's and Q's and continue in righteousness, that you're not going to make it in. You know, God will say that, I know you not. We have to be especially careful, more careful than those that just want to just live an unrighteous lifestyle, you know, because, you know, we're saying, Lord, Lord, and, you know, all that other stuff. God will say that I don't know you. You know, that's going to be a sad day, man, I'm telling you. He'll say, you know, cast you out, you know, into utter darkness. You don't want that. It says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the people who wrote the on paper and you know, they wrote it in scrolls. They wrote it on scrolls and with a pen or ink, probably a feather, you know, and they dipped it and they made their own ink, and, you know, the old fashioned way of doing things. You can make ink, you know. And they dipped it and they wrote, you know, the word of God down, and they kept the law. And there's some people that still keep the law of God. They still are very serious about God's word. And they could tell you verbatimly what the law says. Yeah, they know it from A to Z and back and Z to A, you know. But do they live the law? You know, they know the law, but do they live the law? You know, there's a scripture that God said that they didn't even know him. He was right there with them, but they didn't know him. They know the law, but they didn't know him. Praise God and bless his holy name. So we have to be careful that our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of those people. You know, so you can make it into heaven. I got to be careful. I, Marcia, Dr. Marcia, the Archbishop, you have to be careful that I will do the right thing, you know. Many people I've hurt over my lifetime, you know, not intentionally whatsoever, but at the end of the day, they got hurt by an action that I did or didn't do or couldn't do, and I have to repent of those things. But even with that being said, I have to be very careful with the children of God, you know, because the scripture that talks about that, if you hurt one of God's little ones, you know, it's better for you that a millstone is tied around your neck. I said that to someone at the Pentagon the other day, a couple of years ago, and they thought I was threatening them. I said, no, I was reading what God's word said. I'm talking about myself as well. You know, if you hurt one of God's little ones, you know, God himself, if his vengeance is mine, said God, he will repay. God is going to come at you, and he's going to come at you very hard and take you out if he has to and totally eliminate you and your household and your family and all of that. So you got to be very careful when you're dealing with the children of God. You just really, you know, got to be careful. And then people in the church, in the household of faith, also have to be careful when they're dealing with God's people. Amen. So verse 22, let's move on. Matthew 5, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be damned of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So here, you know, we got to be careful how we deal with our brothers. And one scripture that I talked about just a few weeks back, that we are our brother's keepers, I'm very serious about that. The war that's going on overseas in Russia and all of that, Ukraine, I see many flags in America. You know, everybody got their Ukraine flags out, and, you know, they're on bikes with their Ukraine flag and on their houses and their property and so forth, supporting great massive support of their brothers that are overseas, you know, that are being hurt by their brothers, which are in Russia, right? You know, God said in his word that if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you know, you shall be in danger of the judgment that comes from God himself. Right. Because they're angry with their brother without a cause and killing people, you know, with bombs and weapons and, you know, all kind of threats of nuclear attacks and all kind of stuff. You know, and I'm just saying that everybody needs to stand down and stop this nonsense and repent. You know, go and shake your brother's hand and say, brother, you know, please forgive me for I've sinned against you. You know, it's easy to say, forgive me. You know, man, woman, we human beings have so much pride. You know, black, white, we need to say, I'm sorry, I did you wrong. I've done you wrong. I've hurt you. And I didn't mean I've hurt you. I've killed you. I've killed your, you know, people in your household, different things. We just need to repent and say, I'm sorry. And then the other person that's receiving the repentance needs to also say, forgive me for whatever it is that I did to you that you felt like this. To me, forgive me. And sinned against you, please, you know, and shake hand, hug, and stuff like that. Start showing love for one another, and these things will be at peace, right? But God says if you call your brother Raka, and you're in danger of counsel, and you know, if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire, and everybody, like, you know, saying those words all the time, calling people fool, you know, the foolish fool. God's word doesn't change. You know, we may change. We may have different jargons, and, you know, we say different things, but God's word is not going to change. If you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Hellfire is the fire that never stops. Your skin will be burning continuously. You know, you know, some people say, how are we going to have skin when we've died and return to ashes and our bones is all, you know. The spirit is the mind. The mind is the spirit. The soul is the mind. You will feel hellfire if you decide to go down that path. You will be in total torment all of your days beyond the grave. Okay, verse 23 said, therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and remember that you have ought against, you know, your brother, right? So you have a lot of money or whatever, you don't, you got something from your tree or whatever, your plants, whatever you have, you want to give it and present it to God, you want someone to pray for you or whatever the circumstance may be. You have a gift to give to God, you have a gift to give to the priest. Before you give that gift to the priest who can present it to God on your behalf, you need to go back to your brother and ask your brother, please forgive me. You know, I'm not able to pay the bill. Please forgive me. I'm not able to. I've hurt you. I am sorry. Please, I repent. Before they die, or if they have passed away, you know, I've told people, and I've said this, and a pastor said, I'm going to take a chair. But if someone has passed away, and they're gone already, and you didn't repent, you didn't ask them to forgive you, you need to, you know, go to your private room or whatever, in your living room, get a chair, sit in front of the chair, talk to that person as if they were there, because spirit is spirit, you know. God is spirit. Talk to them and ask them to forgive you. They're gone, you know. They're no longer with you on this earth, but it's for you to feel good about yourself, because they're gone. You can't keep beating yourself up. Because, oh, man, I didn't say apologies to my brother. I didn't say apologies to my mother. I didn't say apologies to my dad. Oh, my God, everything gone. My sister, my cousin, oh, my God. I should have, oh, my God, I wasn't able to pay them back. I couldn't do it. And he gave me money, and I couldn't pay him back. I told him I would. Didn't have it. Stop beating yourself up. You have to do something like that, you know, or write a letter and mail it off to them in 77 Main Street, USA, 12345 zip code. Mail it, certified mail, you know, with no return receipt. No return back to you. Postmaster will get rid of the mail somehow, you know. They can't forward it. But you have to, you know, forgive yourself. You know, if you've hurt someone and they're gone, you have to forgive yourself. But try your level best to forgive them while they yet live. Hurry. Amen. It's not too late. So you can feel better. Amen. So verse 24 says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first to reconcile to thy brother that they come and offer, then come. And then you can offer the gift to God, you know. But it says leave it there. Don't take it back with you. Leave it at the altar. Or leave it with the priest and say, I'll be right back. And go and take care of that. Get squared off. Amen. Praise God and bless His holy name. Verse 25 says, agree with thy adversary quickly. These are some really sound, common sense things, man. It's not a doctrine. It makes sense. You know, you have an enemy. Agree with them quickly, so that, you know, the people in Ukraine should have agreed with Russia quickly. We wouldn't have been in this war stuff. Yeah? Russia should have talked to his brother and say, hey, you know, come on, talk to me, or, you know, come on my side for a minute. You know, come on, I don't want to fight with you, but I don't want you to go over there. You know, come on, we're one mother, one father. What are you doing? You know, you're leaving me. I don't want to be left alone. You know, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm using that, you know, country, those two countries, because that's relevant to us today. But you that are in your household, you know, with your brother and your siblings, whether you have the same mother or the same father, or is combination of baby mama drama stuff going on, and different fathers, different mothers, all that, you and your brothers are still brothers, whether it's half-brothers or half-sisters, whatever, three-fourth brothers and cousins and sisters, you know, cousins and cousins, it's still family. Don't let the blood get, you know, curdle and dry and black. It's no good. Keep the lifeblood going by repenting, by saying, I'm sorry, you know, before you become your adversary. But if he becomes your adversary and your enemy, you know, go over to you. I remember one time in Fayetteville, North Carolina, my neighbors, these white people that were across the street from where I live, I don't know what it was, but they were like my enemies. I didn't do them anything. I didn't think I did something, but maybe I did something. I don't know. But one day I just ran out the house, and I had my priestly robe on, and they were in their big truck, four by four, red truck. And both men were in the car, and I ran to them, and I said, hey, you know, forgive me. I'm sorry if I offended you in any way, you know. I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. You know, like, wow. And, you know, I was released of, you know, whatever I had done to them, which they never told me. We never had an argument. But it was something that was just not right. It was just, like, going on, you know. They'd have all the black people tell me what's going on, but the black people, what are they telling me stuff? Because the argument is with the man across the street, you know, the white man across the street is upset with me, but I don't know what I did to hurt him because I never went across the street on his turf, but there was something that was up. Anyway, what I'm saying is agree with your adversary quickly. And you be the big woman or the big man or the big boss, and you humble yourself before the throne of God. Humble yourself before that man or that woman. I'm telling you, it'll blow them away. You're like, what?
I'm sure, you know, they drove off, those two guys, you know. But I'm sure they were talking about it, like, why did she come over and talk to us and ask for forgiveness? Probably, they were probably scratching their head, like, what's going on? But I was free. I was free. Yeah, before I left that area, there in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I was free to move on with my life. Again, no, not knowing what I did to them at all. Even God knows. So maybe I had a bigger house. I don't know. I don't know what it was. No, actually, my house was smaller than theirs. They had a nice house, man. It was gorgeous. But anyway, let's move on to verse 26. It says, we're reading from Matthew 5, verse 26. It says verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, that's money, you know, or whatever. If you owe the money, pay it back. What I'm doing right now is I'm paying off all my debts. I'm feeling really great, man. The student loan forgiveness thing, I filled out the application, getting ready to submit that again. I send it in. But now they have it that all debt can be forgiven, and then you pay $25 a month or something. Like they approve this, you know, your budget or something. It's like, sign me up, man. So student loan debt forgiven. I'm paying off little by little all my federal IRS bills, and I'm sending them back, redoing all my taxes, making sure that I owe the federal government nothing, man. And, it's going to be zeroed out. It has been zeroed out. Just writing back, say, hey, I owe you guys nothing, man. Here's my bills. State, I owe you nothing. And then I'm going to come back around and pay off all the taxes that I owe on all my properties and stuff. Little by little, you know, pay off all my credit cards every single month, paying them off, you know, buying and paying them off. And something happens, we have a hiccup. Then I pay the minimum requirement. Anyone I owe, little by little, I'll be paying them off, little by little. If I don't get around to them this month, I'll be coming around next month. We'll be coming around the mountain next month or the next month. But I will be, if I square off all of this, then money will then move to the other debtor that I am indebted to, man. I'm paying everyone off, paying off all my debt. The Bible says, owe no man. Amen? Because they can bring you to court, to the judgment quickly. So hurry up, make an agreement, make a written agreement, talk to them, commune with your debtors, call all your creditors, pay off those bills. Amen? And if you can't, then you have to let them know, hey, I can't pay me. I never can pay you back. So, you know, can you cancel the debt? You know, some creditors will cancel the debt. I was hearing, I saw it too, I read that our current president is supposed to forgive all student loans, man. I don't know how you're going to do that. That's a lot of weight. But that would be sweet if they come up with a plan to get rid of all of that debt, all of that weight. And then, you know, America, oh, how many trillions of dollars with interest? 30 trillion, I think. Man, we can't pay that. If the countries that we owe money to, we can go to them and say, hey, we can never pay you. Can you just, like, forgive that debt? Let's do a do-over. Why not? It's not going to hurt them. You know, they're waiting for their money, which is not coming. So just, like, forgive the debt. There in the Bible, in Genesis, it talks about the year of Jubilee, which is a person was enslaved for 50 years or something like that. They lost their land and they lost all their possessions. And they had to work for the person that they were indebted to for sometimes we talk about 7 years, some 6 years, some talk about 50 years. But in 50 years, they get all their stuff back. They get their land back. They get their house back. All the stuff that they once had, they get it all back. They're totally restored. It's a year of Jubilee, man. I think the bankruptcy court used that strategy, chapter 7, chapter 11, chapter 13. Yeah, but it stays on your credit report for 10 years. Oh, my God. That's suffrage, man. But at the same time, you can literally, you know, start all over, you know? So if the countries that we owe will forgive America of all the debt, that would be sweet. That'll be a miracle, man. And we can start fresh and anew, because America got stuff that they need. Mm-hmm. Do some negotiation, bartering or something. Let's read the word of God. We're on Matthew chapter 5. We're in verse number 30. It says, as if thy right hand offends thee. Okay, wait. Verse 27. I skipped a couple of verses. Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Wow, I'm stepping on everyone's toes that has committed the act of adultery. And I know that is really bad news for everyone. And I used to wonder, as I went through the church, as I grew up in church my whole life, what does that mean, you know? Yeah, fornication. Well, fornication is for those that are unmarried, single people having sexual intercourse with one another. That's fornication. That word sounds so foul. Fornication. Adultery is married people having sexual intercourse with one another, but you are not married to that person. Either one is married and one is single. So anyone that's married, you're breaking that union. Or two married people, they have swaps and stuff. They have husbands swapping their wives and stuff. Do you hear me? Oh, my God. But anyway, adultery is a destroyer of a household. It's a destroyer of the two union. It says the two shall become one. And that adultery just totally penetrates that penetration. Funny. That's what it does. It totally destroys the two and then separates. Just really unequal yoke stuff. It's just a mess. It causes so much violent harm to everyone, even the adulterer, the man that's committing the adultery or the woman that's committing the adultery. It destroys her and it destroys him. There's no love there. You know, it's just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's just a just release the man God and spill this stuff on you or in you or out of you. It's just terrible for you, and it's terrible for the man, because he has to go back to his wife and he has to look at her. And the man that looks at his wife, the wife can tell immediately that he's messed up. You know, a man can't tell when a woman is messed up. I don't know why, but a woman can kind of like fake it till she make it or something. But he can tell if something is just not right, because the spirit that she brings in the table, because remember, when a man penetrates a woman, the sperm from the man has blood in it, and that blood from the ancestors, okay, those that don't understand ancestral things, enter your body, even if he spills it or something outside of you. Something, a spiritual thing occurs that you now personify and takes on that spirit of that man on you. Literally, like you, that spirit jumps on you. You know, if you're scared and stuff like that, I'm telling you some scary stuff. And if a person, like, you know, these people that are prostitutes and they live in that world to make ends meet for whatever reason, you know, I'm not downing anyone for their vocation, you know, but there's their career, you know, and trying to make money somehow. But they either sell their body or they were caught up in it and trafficking and all this stuff. And they were caught up in it when they're young, or incest. Oh, my God, so much stuff. Okay, perversions. These things are spirit. It comes on the mortal body, and you carry that spirit with you. So if a person have 10 person that they've had intercourse with, that's 10 different spirits that's on you. They have 70 different people. They have 70 different spirits that's on you. So that's why you're so confused, okay? And because there's different people talking to you, because you're remembering that thought, you remember that moment, and all of those are in your mind. Remember, the body and the soul is one. It's one. It's the same. But your mind is just hearing these voices. You know, it's amazing. It's a mess. You're totally mixed up. So that's why the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. Because when that woman comes into the house where her husband is, and he's pure, he hasn't done anything, he immediately can sense something is wrong with his wife. She's not the same because that other spirit is there. And if he's a person that has a spirit of discernment, that can see stuff, there's some people that have ESP, they have the sixth sense, they can sense there's another entity in their house. It's some scary stuff. You can't see it, but you can feel there's something else that's there. That's why we don't commit adultery. That is the reason. No one ever explained that to me as I was going through, as a child going through the church. But I'm explaining it to you right now. That is why we do not commit the acts of adultery or fornication, because you're bringing in other spirits into you that is not really good for you, because they're not you. They're not supposed to be a part of you, all right? So when God's word says thou shalt not commit adultery, he's trying to keep you from all the hurt and all the pain that comes along with that very act and all the destruction that will not only for you, your household, your children, many generations to come. One act, you know, it just really is bad news. You understand? Excuse me, I gotta wipe my face. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is clearly saying that thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28 says, but I say unto you that whosoever look at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, same thing, you know, like a man have Google eyes. And you're like looking at a woman, like, oh, she's fine, she looks good. That's why a woman ought to put on clothes. You need to cover yourself. You cover your body. Because when a man looks at a woman's flesh, it stirs stuff up in the man, period. It does. Some people now have eyes for different people that are in their same sex, you know, men on men and women on women. It's the same thing, I guess you would say. They look at somebody's flesh. So that's why you need to cover up the chest area. You need to cover up your shoulders and you know, the upper area, just cover up everywhere. Just cover up. You know, there's some people in the olden times and even today, they wear stuff over their head, you know, and they even cover their face, you know. Men are really affected by flesh, the flesh of a woman. Seriously, some men are into the toes and stuff. So right, wear some socks and some shoes, man. You really got to understand that women are so powerful in and of themselves. From children, you need to cover them up. Put those panties on, the Pampers, put on, cover up the tights and the pants, if you wear pants, or dress, wear it down to your toenails, man. Just cover up to protect yourself from the onslaughts, from the looks of men that will lust after you. Okay, it's not a good thing for a woman to uncover herself, unravel herself, then be exposed. I don't know if anybody's ever shared this with you, but it's not good. It's not good for America. It's not good for our country for all the women to show off all their flesh in, you know, on television, on videos, on the streets. You're not your own. You're responsible. You are your brother's keeper. You're responsible to you even offend other women. Other women looking at other women because you expose yourself and you affecting that woman's marriage, or even if it's a boyfriend, you know, girlfriend situation. The way you are exposing yourself is making that woman uncomfortable, or you exposing yourself, you make the man uncomfortable who's a righteous man, okay? So that's why God is saying here, if your eye offends you, verse 29, it says, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body should be cast into hell. That's what happened with the person less than after someone. It's through the eyes that they can see, you know, someone's body and get affected by it, you know, and they lust after that thing and they want that thing. Some men go after that thing and then they end up in trouble and get in courts for raping and all kind of other stuff. And some people, oh my gosh, they really have it bad. You know, we've seen some horrible stories of men who've taken it to the next level, man. You know, just get affected by this stuff. So please, sir, please, ma'am, cover up. You know, you're at the gym and working out and stuff like that. You can wear clothes and garments that are protect you and cover you up because other people are looking at you, looking at all your muscles, looking at your six-packs, you know, six-pack abs, all that other good stuff. It's all good, even when you're showing off how to stretch and all of that. Wear proper clothing, fully dressed, man, and demonstrate the movement. America needs help, and we have to teach one another. The old way of doing things is the right way of doing things. It may say you square peg. Well, it was a lot of people that got protected by those old-fashioned way of thinking. So cover up, ladies and gentlemen. Protect you, your household, and your children, your children's children. Amen. In the future and beyond. Verse 30, it says, and if thy right hand offends thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish and not that the whole body shall be cast into hell. Same principle as the eyes. Verse 31, Matthew 5, verse 31 says, it has been said, whoso shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now that happened to me. My husband at a time, he, you know, rode through the court system and gave me a bill of divorcement, absolute divorce. And I received it in the mail. I was driving, left of my job at the Pentagon. I was driving down, you know, 210, I think it was. I'm driving fast, man. I was driving real fast. I had my Sebring, I was leaning back. Yeah. And I had picked up the mail at Bolin Air Force Base because that's where I had my mail going to at the time. Picked up my mail and I was driving and I think I might have been at a stoplight and stuff like that. And I opened one of the mail and I didn't know what this word was. It was an absolute, you know, from the courts. I was like, what is that, you know? And I read that, and I opened it up. So there was a phone number, and the lights were still red. I call on my phone. I had my cellular phone in the car at the time, and I call, and the clerk picked up, and I say, I got this letter from you guys. I don't know what this is about. And I asked, so what is that? And so it says, the lady said, well, what is it? She gave me the actual file number, case number. I gave it to her, and it says absolute divorce. And I said, what is that about? And she said, oh, you have a court date on November the 7th or 17th or something. I don't remember exact date. And you have to show up. I was like, oh, that's like next week. Oh my God. Or next day or something. It was like right away when I, good thing I opened the letter. I was clueless. I didn't even know what was going on, right? That's why I said that you have to pay attention to details. You have to pay attention to the love of your life, the one that God has blessed you with. Because if you don't communicate, if you don't talk to one another, if you don't pay attention to detail, you will lose that good thing that you had, and it'll be gone because someone else has pulled them or whatever. We have to pay attention to one another. We are our brother's keepers, y'all. Amen? So, these things are practical things that Psalms, Matthew 5 is talking about, common sense things for our health, our well-being. And the rules of a divorce, Moses talked about, and he said God never wanted anyone to divorce, but it's because of man's selfishness, their selfishness about themselves. Nobody's talking to me, so I'm going to get rid of this. You know, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Well, it still affects other people, you know. You may not want to deal with it, but that that act of writing the divorce affect that woman, and if she had children, and grandchildren, everybody gets affected by that one act. But everything that we do affects someone else. That's all of this Matthew 5 is talking about. Everything that we do, you are not the only one that it will affect. All right, verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save in for the cause of fornication, or the cause of if she committed adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced that committed adultery. It says again, ye have heard that I have been said that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oath. This section is talking about if you make a vow unto the Lord, just fulfill it. Or if you make a vow to someone, you know, keep talking to them. If you're not able to do it immediately or right away, just let them know, I still haven't gotten it. I remember you. I haven't forgotten what I got to do. I know my obligations. Just keep in touch with them, or your creditors, your debit, people that you owe. Just keep in touch with that person. Amen. Excuse me. So verse number 33, we're almost finished. 48 verses to go through. Again, you've heard that it has been said by them of old times. I already read that. Verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven or by heaven, because for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is the footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by the head, by your head. Don't swear by your head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. Amen. Like, I have lots of hair, you know. I don't care what you're doing my hair. I got to plait over here. I got to take it down. I twist it. I'm twisting it, twisting the hair because it keeps on growing. So I'm like twisting it. I can't change the color of my hair to white or from gray to black or anything. Neither can you. So God is saying, don't swear by your head. Now, Matthew chapter 5, it says that, verse 37, says, but let your communication be yes, yes, or in the old verse, old English says yea, yea, or nay, nay, or no, no, okay? For whosoever is more than thee come from evil. For whatsoever is more than thee comes from evil. So it's either yes or no. If you can't do something, you can't do it. If you can do it, say you can. If you, you know, try your level best not to promise someone something, because then they expect that promise. That's why I said if you owe someone something, talk to them. If you're not able to keep that you owe for that time you were going to repay the debt, keep on communicating with them to the point that, look, I can't do it. I thought I was able to, but I'm not able to. And if you ask someone for something and, you know, that you cannot take care of bill, you ask somebody for something. Don't promise them that you're going to repay them that, because the very mere fact that you're asking for help for money financially shows that the very fact that you can't ever pay that bill. So don't put yourself in that obligation. If that person then chooses to give you, render you $5 because you asked for help, don't say to them that you're going to pay it back, because they'll bother them for a long time, because especially when you're not able to pay it back. So just don't put yourself in that tight squeeze. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If someone asks you for help and you can't give them the help, just tell them you can't do it. No, I can't do it. Not being ugly, you just don't have it to give them. You got your own obligations to take care of. You got your own bills to take care of. And if you give to them, your bills, you won't have a house to live in. you know, the way it is. You got to wait till you have some extra and you can secure off on them something if you can help them. But if you can't, you just say no. It's okay to say no. There's some people have a very hard time saying no to another person because it really hurts. Because you really want to help. You really want to help that person, but you cannot do it. So just don't put yourself in that obligation. Like the government, the federal government right now is saying that they're going to take care of the student loan stuff and forgive all of it. Well, don't put it out there if you're not going to do it, because we're now expecting this now to come to pass, right? So what I'm saying is just don't put yourself tied up. You know, what is that going to mean? All the money that was spent out and now not going to be repaid. I mean, what does that mean, you know, to the Department of Education? You know, all that money was put out there. But anyway, let's continue. We almost finished. We're at Matthew 5, verse 39. 10 more verses, y'all. But I say unto you that ye resist not, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. So if someone slap you sideways on the your face, this scripture is telling you to turn the other cheek and let him slap the other side. Not I. No, I'm going to like take him out too. I'm just going to retaliate. I am not going to do this one. I'm sorry. I am not the one for this one. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Someone hit me one time. They go, I'm taking them out. In Jesus' name. Then I'll be sin. Verse number 40 says, and if any man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That I will do. If someone take me to court for whatever, you know, I'll give them my whole, here, just take everything. I don't want this anyway. Amen. Praise God and bless his holy name. Now, verse number 41 says, so whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. 2 miles, all right? Verse 42, I mean, that's logic. I don't think I have to explain that. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So if someone asks me for help, and I'm able to, you know, if it's in me and I'm able to, I'm going to help that person. And I know they'll come back again. And then I'll say, no, I can't help you. And, you know, you can keep on. I'd rather teach a person how to fish than to consistently having them come back for food. You know, you keep coming back for money, you keep coming back. I'd rather teach a person, this is what you do to make a sale. And then when you make a sale, then you end of the day, someone pay you. Or you do service of some kind, you know. And you do this service, then somebody's going to give into your hands money. You take that money and pay your bill. I'd rather teach that than just to constantly give money to someone. But here it's saying to give, you know. But when I give to someone something, then I'm not expecting it back. As I said, the principle is just the facts. Someone is asking for money, they're not able to earn it or get it or whatever reason, they're not able to either pay you back either. So don't take from them. If they say, I'm going to pay you back, correct them. If they don't know not to do that, just correct them. Say, forget about it. You're not going to be able to pay me back. So don't worry about it. Because you'll be all frustrated and stressed out and all prune-faced every time you see that person because they were not able to take care of that debt or that bill. Okay? So verse 42, if give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. Love thy neighbors and hate thy enemies. Wow. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which do despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I like that. I do that. I like that because it just is a psyche type of a thing, you know. Someone despise me or dislike me for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess they're my neighbor. I didn't do him anything wrong, so I thought. But maybe I walked the wrong way. Maybe I talked to him. Maybe I talked too loud. Maybe I had my music up too high. I don't know. I always like playing my music, you know. Like, you know, yeah, loud. I play my music really loud. Might have offended them, and they didn't know how to tell me to turn it down, whatever. I don't know. I was in my own house on my own property. But it might have offended them. It might have went, the noise might have went across and upset them. I don't know what it was. But those that hated me, I prayed for them. I pray for them now. I pray for all my enemies. I pray for all my enemies because, first of all, they can't beat me, number one, because I got God with me. I got the angels of God that surrounds me and protects me. And any tricks or scheme or scam that they try to entrap me and all that, it will never prevail. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't worry about a thing. But at the same time, they have a lot to worry about because God's worst of vengeance is mine. But the Lord, I'll repay. So when God going to get them. And my brother Jesus Christ and his blood, man, my gosh, I feel sorry for them, right? So I pray for them because my angel is going to take them out. Angels from the north, angels from the south, angels from the east, angels from the west, northeast, angels of God from the northwest, angels of God from the southeast, and angels of God from the southwest, all of them. Yeah, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Ariel, oh my gosh, and the archbishop, oh my goodness, powerful force. I got a little angel David going on. You know, I got a David Lawrence, you know, A, B, C, D, F, G. All my angels, man. Got my mom up in the heavens, my dad, grandma, and the saints that have gone before, my Uncle Brian, my brother Lee, all the saints of God, my forefathers, you know, they protect me. So I pray for my enemies. Those that despisefully use me as well, I pray for them. You know, they take my stuff, they steal my stuff, they pleasurize my stuff. I just pray for them, and I forgive them immediately because I want my prayers to be answered at all times. Because at any time, someone's going to call me, the Archbishop, Dr. Marcia Karen Smith, Abram Almasi, and say, Bishop, I need a prayer. I need, you know, Dr. Bishop Bird called me just the other day, 2 days ago. Bishop, you know, I lost my baby girl. He has 8 children, but I talk to her every day. And I could hear it in his voice. He just needed me to listen. And he just lost his mother-in-law the month before. And his beautiful wife, our first lady, man, they're going through. Yes, they have other children. But, damn, that was a baby girl, 39 years young, right? So, I thank God that he was able to pick up the phone for whatever reason and call me. And I answer all my calls. And if I don't answer, just leave a message. I'll be back. Send me a text. I'll get back with you right away. Email me, mkspcg1@gmail.com. I will call you right back. Get back with you as soon as possible, as soon as reasonable possible. Even if you're my creditor, man, I'm calling you like, hey, can I help you? Yeah, I know I owe you $50. Okay, I'm coming. Can't do it right now. Can you wait a minute? I will call you right back. Even though there are people that call all the time and it's just too much, I will still pick up the phone. Now, those that irritate me, I'll block it in a minute because you cannot block the mind of God trying to tell me what to do. You're constantly harassing me with constant. No, I will take care of you soon as God provides for me because I live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's all I live by. God will provide. And that, when God provides, I will definitely take care of you because you're on my list of things to take care of, period. I don't need harassing spirit because that's not of God. I don't need anyone tormenting me because that is not of God. That's Satan himself, the great tormentor of the brethren, the great accuser of the brethren. Amen? So So I bind and rebuke in the name of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus Christ all over that thing, cast you out into the pit of hell, the utter darkness, that you will not, that spirit will not return near my dwelling place. Amen? Amen. So let's move on. I need to be at peace and at rest. So when a man or woman of God or a boy or girl will call, my children, grandchildren, you know, one day I'll have great-grandchildren, and they call, I'm able, my daughter-in-law, my son's children's mother, their friends, they can call me at any time. I want to be in a place of peace that I can pray for them so that they can be healed and set free from whatever it is that they're going through right now in Jesus' name. All right. We almost finished. Matthew 5, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Verse 45 says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he make his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust." Okay, so what I'm saying is this. We have a lot of people that will use their power and authority and hurt our children, men that go out and do wrong, and sometimes people that have done good. Amen. Hold that thought. One second. Amen. So, as I was saying, I think I'm still on the air. Let's see. I had to take that call. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When the call comes in, I got to take the call, you know, because you are so important to me. And your concern is great in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and I need to pray for you, you know, because all I know is to pray, and God will hear, and he will answer, and he will answer quickly that thing that you have need of. Amen. Praise God. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know, but it, somehow or another, some miracle happens, and it is taken care of. You're squared off, and I'm like, wow, really? And it's more than anything that we could ever think of to do. And to how did that happen, right? God is just God. Verse 46. Two more verses and we're done. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same?" Verse 47. "And if you salute your brethren only," and say hello, "what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So we're not perfect, but God's word said that we can be perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. "Be ye therefore perfect, for God himself is perfect. For your heavenly Father, for your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I want to just thank you all for tuning in to today's broadcast. I love what I do. I love the Word of God. I was reading from the Family Bible, the King James Version here. I just pray that God will continuously bless you all. I pray that something I said today has been a blessing unto you. And I just want to thank you. I do have a couple announcements. I wanted to let everyone know that the Mike and Service University is going to be teaching you how to rebuild your car. We also have a course that's course 104. We also have a course 101, 102, 103, where we'll be teaching you how to demolish a house and how to tear down a house. That's the same thing as demolishing, right? How to tear it up in Jesus' name, and how to re-erect the house, how to rehab the house or to build a new house. I've been loving all the teaching that I've gotten, some training, which is from colleges. I got a lot of written knowledge, but we're going to do practical work. And for each student that will be a part, it's $150 that you will receive if you are one of the students. That will be your stipend. You will receive that at the end of your training and after the house is completed and after the car is built, so that you'll receive a certificate of completion, and you can then go for your license in those areas. Amen. So I just thank God. We'll have some expert plumbers, expert with engineers, and expert electricians, you know, expert carpenters. And by the way, we'll be putting up a solar panel and a solar roof, metal roof. So everything that we'll do, the students will be able to glean from it, learn from it, hands-on training, working with their hands and feet to put up this house. And I would just thank God for each and every one that will sign up to register to be a part of that training. My email address, if you'd like to register for that, is my, which is mkstcg1@gmail.com. And that's that will be for the Miking Service University courses, course 101, course 102, course 103, and course 104, which deals with the vehicles, cars, vans, bus, trucks, and motorbikes will be working these things. So, rebuilding a nice vehicle for you that you will own and free and clear of all debts. Amen. In Jesus' name. We'll buy the vehicle. You will own and operate the vehicle after it's completed and fixed. So, you know, just think about these things or share with someone. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he give you peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, as he keeps your mind and as you keep your mind and your heart stayed on him. May the Lord bless you and your household. Those that are in bereavement, I submit my condolences unto you and your household. Be strong and know that God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Take care until we meet again next week, same time, same station, here at the Miking Service Radio and Television Broadcasting Network. I did have another announcement, but I think we're almost out of time. Let me see if I can plug it in real quick. The TV broadcasting, I'll make that announcement on my next broadcast. God bless you. Take care. All right, this is Archbishop Dr. Marcia Karen Smith Abrams Almasi. All right, good night. God bless.